CBS Eye on the World. This is the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. We go to the report from China, Evergrande. What we're looking at here are the unknowns of a very large developer in China. I read from the Wall Street Journal report, Chinese authorities are asking local governments to prepare for the potential downfall of China Evergrande Group, according to officials familiar with the discussions, signaling a reluctance to bail out the debt-saddled property developer while bracing for any economic and social fallout from the company's travails. What we're looking at here is the concerns of retail investors in property that may or may not have value at this moment, given the scale of Evergrande's debt. The officials, says the Wall Street Journal, characterize the actions being ordered as, quote, getting ready for the possible storm, end quote. Chris, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. You have reported to me for several years, and I believe this memory dates to before the pandemic, 2019, that the property values in certain parts of China, Guangdong was my memory of where you had just visited, were impossible, were unacceptable, and were accelerating. That observation from 2 years before, is that in this Evergrande story of possible storm? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think you have 2 points around Evergrande in what's happening to that company. One, China had just an amazingly overheated property sector where per square meter the cost of a flat in Shenzhen or Guangzhou was 20, 30, 40 times per square meter what that would be on Billionaire's Row in Manhattan or in the West End of London. So you had extremely, extremely inflated pricing going on there. Second, with Evergrande, you see now that Evergrande was basically some form of a Ponzi scheme, potentially, where investors in China who are limited in where they can place their money were placing their money in Evergrande for guaranteed returns that ended up being much more speculative. And now you have potentially millions or large numbers of people in China that have had their savings wiped out and could become disruptive relative to that occurrence. So you have not only the property failure, but the savings failure, investment failure of a noticeable number of people in that economy.
Your observations are part of the worldwide supply chain that is always in question now, recovering from the pandemic. Does Evergrande touch the supply chain? Does it touch ongoing business between China and America?
Absolutely. And think of this as a group of dominoes. So Evergrande, in building residential or commercial buildings, uses a lot of steel. So that may come from iron ore in Australia that is mined with machines from Caterpillar or John Deere or Navistar that are built in Illinois or Iowa. It is truly a global supply chain. The disruption of a big consumer impacts all upline for the suppliers that go into that channel. And while you can think, hey, Evergrande may not have a direct impact on the U.S. or have a minimal impact on direct default of debt, there's a secondary impact to all the supplies that go into making those buildings that is significant.
The supply chain also involves the container ships. We've talked about this repeatedly over these last months of recovery because of the lineup of container ships off of Long Beach in California delivering goods to the American market for Christmas. Not Evergrande in the supply chain, the supply chain itself, is it showing recovery?
So the supply chain still is quite challenged. You're seeing stories this week of the chip shortage is now being communicated, will not be cleared through 2023 at the earliest, but probably looking more like 2024. Secondarily, in discussions this week with three of the larger container transport companies in the world, those Pacific, trans-Pacific routes from Asia to the U.S., where a container pre-pandemic was $4,500 per 40-foot container. Everyone is now being advised that's going to be $20,000, $25,000, $30,000 per container for the next 2 to 3 years. And that directly translates to this permanent inflation that we're seeing of, because container costs are higher, transit costs are higher, it's going to translate into every product that a consumer buys that's originating in Asia.
I report to you, Chris, that the box that I use to record and broadcast. It's called a Rodecaster. It has a chip in it, and it's not a fancy chip. It's a chip that allows us to do our business. And I learned recently that those chip shortages extend into as simple items like this. So I checked Amazon because I'd watched it over the years. I always like to have backups, and I decided to get a backup. The price had accelerated from, I believe, the high 500s, around 590, into the 630, 640 zone, if you could get it, you know, two left, three left. I immediately ordered one, but that tells me the supply chain of chips is not just about the big fancy stuff for automobiles. It's across the consumer markets.
One example to that, in any PC, any laptop, there's a chip called an audio codec chip. The dominant player in that market is a company called Realtek, a Chinese supplier. That chip is a component in a PC, is normally about $2 for that specific chip that allows you to then listen to whatever you'd like to from your computer. Current pricing on that chip in market is $74. There's example after example after example of that, which those parts that do exist are being priced in many of those specialty chip areas at 30, 40, 50 multiples to get the chip, take it or leave it. If you don't want that and you're looking for the $2 price, you're looking at a 52 to 56 week lead time.
The recovery and the supply chain. Right now, the story in Europe is that there's a disruption in natural gas energy to Europe, Western Europe, but especially the United Kingdom. In conversation with a colleague in Lincolnshire, that is deep into England, we're looking at people preparing their wood-fired stoves for winter. Old wood-fired stoves that haven't been used or maybe are used for romantic backgrounds, because they expect the prices to accelerate in natural gas. There are other aspects of this. Is this the recovery? Is this Russia getting the top dollar when it can? Is this part of the story of worldwide recovery right now, that natural gas supply?
I think you see in that natural gas story the analogies to say that in many of the industries that are natural gas dependent, whether it be fertilizer or meat and other, the consumption of those resources, the industrial uses, is spiking because of shortages in the supply chain, which is then consuming at a higher rate and then translating to the consumer. All of this plays to an inflation story, which is going to have to start to significantly impact GDP globally. And the question is then, what's next? If you have the pressure of people not wanting to work or being out of the workforce, further being pushed by inflation, which is going to weaken a lot of companies, what does that mean for the bigger global economy?
So in our final couple of minutes, timeline, we've talked about recovery timelines over this last year. There was that burst of GDP growth for the U.S., and there was a lot of pride saying the U.S. is leading Europe, and Europe has to catch up, and Asia is non-transparent. I believe the last time we talked about this, it was late 2022, early 2023, to recover the supply chain and to get prices normalizing. Is that timeline still in place in your measure, or has it been lengthened?
It continues to lengthen, and from the shipping perspective, from the chip perspective, for many aspects of the economy, you're now looking at 24 as the earliest return to normalcy, and that could slide as well.
Back to Evergrande, where we started, this language of possible storm. I presume that's referring to protests or people saying that I've been robbed and demanding the executives explain themselves, and also looking for the central government to bail out Evergrande. At this point, will that damage other businesses with China? Will every business in China be affected by this storm?
So I think Mr. Xi has a very, very difficult decision ahead. The decision is the moral hazard decision, as we went through in the U.S. after the 2008 bubble. Is Evergrande too big to fail? If Evergrande fails, then there's a rush on many other companies in China that may have unstable finances or other. So at some point, the Chinese probably have to step in at the governmental level. If they do not, all bets are off, and you could see a cascading effect across the Chinese economy.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is CBS Eye on the World, the Scholar Report. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.